League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
We're Generation X, laughing at the world today. We're getting older, but we're still gonna play.
Yes, this may possibly be my final episode of Radio Labyrinth because we're about to get hit by one of those rare storms, 80-mile-an-hour winds, so late in the evening, which means I won't get any sleep. And I just know that a tree is going to crash on my house and squash me.
I'm just going to sleep through it. Either I'll wake up dead or I'll wake up alive. Either way, I'll just sleep.
Can you believe this? We don't live on a coast. We're way inland. And we're going to get a bullseye, 85 mile an hour, I can't believe it. I've been watching this all week. Of course, me of low anxiety have just been, oh, it'll be all right. I have a generator. Hope it works.
Take some Hibernol.
What's Hibernol?
What's that stuff Farley took on Saturday Night Live?
Other flu medicines let you sleep for 8 or 10 hours. Hibernol lets you sleep through the entire flu season, usually between 2 and 3 months. Unlike other medicines, which contain small doses of mild sedatives, Hibernol contains a powerful narcotic. Hibernol lets you sleep and sleep and sleep.
Oh, yeah.
It might bank left a little bit. It might go further west.
The further west it goes, the worse our winds will be. So we needed to go east.
Ah, well, I don't know. What do you want, Tim? We're all going
to
die.
I don't want to be without power. I need to look at the internet. Now, yes. Pine trees do okay in high winds, though, right? Because they bend a little bit more than the other trees.
The problem is they're shallow rooted. Mm-hmm. And so if we've had a lot of rain before we get the wind, then they're very loose in their roots and they tend to go over.
Oh, good. So we only have 14 of them.
Yeah. And like you said, if we get a lot of rain before, and we are you still going to be flooding even though you've sealed up that basement?
No, we had our basement Everdry waterproofing, a Trust Dale company. They came out and they reinforced our walls where there was a lot of damage. And, they've dug the outside, put in this whole system for us. And we have a sub pump. But I have to go home and make sure it's working.
Yeah.
So I'll do that in the morning. I'm not doing anything tonight. But at least I'm not P. Diddy.
God.
Did you see that Chappelle video from 2004? Where he's playing Diddy and telling his minions to go do things for him if they want to get
her. We be bad boy artists here. First, y'all gotta walk to Queens and give me a sugar cookie.
Yeah, from the Chappelle Show. Yeah.
The Making the Band parody, that old show that Diddy used to have.
Yeah. Walk down to the Bronx and get me some Cambodian breast milk.
The only way I open the studio up now, y'all gotta walk uptown to the Bronx and get breast milk from a Cambodian immigrant.
And then he's drinking his,
It's 100% Cambodian, yeah.
It's so ridiculous. I watched that real show, and he did make them do stupid crap like that. Because
really?
that's when he had that restaurant in New York, Justin's.
Because
that's his real name, Justin. And he had the cheesecake and all that. So he would make them, you have to walk to Justin's and get cheesecake from my restaurant.
He had one here, too. It was on Peachtree Road. Justin's didn't stay open very long.
They sell Justin's cheesecake at the grocery store in the freezer section.
Oh, yeah, it's good. Breast milk, you made my day.
Well, you can get that with your InfoWars, as everything will be auctioned off to pay for all the victims. And if you believe the sensational media, this is like the QAnon thing, but celebrities. that that the Diddy thing is going to expose everybody. Everybody's deleting their social media. Why did Pink delete her social media? Why would Pink have to? Why does she care? I think of people that would commit bad acts. I don't think Pink. Why would Pink be one of those people?
It's more like a lot of people that weren't exactly involved. It's expanding to people who knew what was happening and didn't say anything. And even though they're not criminally responsible, in the eyes of the public, they're going to look like scumbags.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of inner party and outer party distinction with mm-hmm. people's excuses. Yeah.
Oh, and then they're trying to tie... They'll say, oh, Kamala Harris praised Diddy in 2020. Well, there's pictures of these people. They're famous people. So if you're a politician, you want your picture taken with famous people because you want their fans to like you. And if you're Donald Trump, who's been a celebrity since the 80s, you've met everyone and had your photo taken with everyone, just like with Jeffrey Epstein or any of these creeps, you know, like Oprah. She's a lot of pictures of her with P. Diddy. But Oprah was with Weinstein. Do you expect them to know everything that's going on? I don't think Oprah knew what Weinstein was doing.
Are you sure about that?
Or no. Maybe she just turned a blind eye. But, you know, how can they be blamed? You can't just Oprah's next.
Yeah, I don't think Oprah was ever at one of these parties after midnight.
No, why would she be? She's got Stedman or Gail.
And she's not like a young boy.
Right.
Or a young girl, which is right. Which was his, what do you call that?
Predilection.
His predilection, yes.
Justin Bieber, that's one I'm curious about.
Everybody made fun of the kid, and the kid was going through hell.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got that bitchin' Lamborghini.
Well, Usher was the first Bieber. He was only 14 when his mom shipped him off to Diddy's Flavor Camp.
Is that what it's called?
That's what it was called then, and Usher just lived with Diddy. As a 14-year-old kid, and he said, you know, in other interviews, he saw things that he never should have seen.
I told you all this was going to come out in 2024, and there's a lot more of that onion to peel. And when it does, there's going to be a lot of people without jobs, and all these people will be out there looking for work or being in prison, or, you know, they might just Epstein themselves. Just ask Shannon Sharp. I told him everything. You should see what hit the cutting room floor.
But they're saying, I mean, Diddy's on suicide watch. Yeah. You know, he's on suicide watch.
They're going to Epstein him. Nothing ever comes out. That's the other thing. People are like, well, that Epstein list is going to come out. No, it's not. Epstein had politicians at his place. Do you think that the people who run the world are going to allow themselves to be exposed? No. Maybe some big celebrities won't be able to control it. Because there were a lot of people over the years at those parties. But I don't expect I think that the buck stops with Diddy. And then that'll be it. You know what I mean? You're not going to see... Jay-Z get caught up in all of this.
Are you sure about that?
No, they said he's not eating. He's afraid of being poisoned.
Did he? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did he? He's afraid of being poisoned?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to unalive myself so I don't get murdered. See, we have to say the right things. We have to say the right. But you know what? Diddy's fine wherever he is. He's not worried about losing power for 4 days or a tree falling on his house. We got to talk about something else beside the hurricane. Hopefully everybody made it through okay. And if your property was damaged, I hope that your insurance companies pay for it because they're all a bunch of bastards. And you know that the governor has already declared a state of emergency. And you know that because we're a swing state and we're going to have a disaster potentially, that both presidential candidates will be here next week.
Good, we'll get some help.
You think?
Yeah.
I see. You're so positive, Steph.
That'll work for us. I think that'll work for us.
Okay.
It's going to be all right, Tom. It'll be all right.
See, Dustin, I wanted to give you kudos for recommending. That was your staff pick last week, right? Nothing But a Good Time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you watch all three?
I just watched two. I haven't watched the last one.
I watched the first two as well. I haven't watched. Third one looks a little too depressing because that's when grunge comes in and ruins the party.
Yeah. It's like everybody loses their jobs all of a sudden.
But I mean, it was a very good documentary. They could have had a little more in it, but I liked it. Now, this is a documentary on Paramount Plus, but it was a real good look at some of that 80s music and how everybody came out of nowhere, led by Motley Crue for the most part. All the excess, all the partying, all the misogyny, of course, that was involved in it. But these ladies knew what they were getting into. There's that weird story about these Motley Crue would play Atlanta, And all these girls would get on the bus and they'd bang them all the way to Charlotte. And then they just leave them on the bus.
Bye.
And then the women would have, they'd have to pay to have the women shipped back to wherever they came from. And the Guns N' Roses story, I didn't know that much about Guns N' Roses, but how violent they were and destructive and how they really needed to have that, that British guy, that manager come in and just like, get your shit together. But that show was produced and directed by Jeff Tremaine, who was the co-creator of Jackass. I interviewed him. I just haven't put it out yet. So that'll be on my WSB show at some point. You know, it's hard to do that show right now because it's Bulldog season. But I also like there was a lot of Rudy Sarzo. And you can find my interview with Rudy Sarzo from Quiet Riot. And he also toured with Hagar. He also toured with Ozzy Osbourne, you know, with the Randy Rhoads era. He was good friends with Randy Rhoads. So there's an interview that I did with him in the Popcast podcast feed.
You waltzing in here like you mean something.
Carmine Falcone's dead.
If we don't protect what's ours, we just look weak. The streets are talking again. They know there's only one man big enough to run this city.
Ah, do you remember Carmine's daughter?
Sophia, I thought you was still at,
Arkham? I've been rehabilitated.
I think we all watched the very first episode of The Sopranos Season 8. Where the moved to Gotham City. Everybody's dead, but Tony, who somehow got
when the scene blacked out, somebody shot him in the face. Now yes. He's got a big scar on his face.
That's right.
Right. And somehow his mom came back to life.
Still got a crazy mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like the other dream. This is like he had the dream where he was the weapon salesman who was at the convention and then got.
Yeah.
In a fight with a bunch of Hare Krishnas. I had no idea what to expect. I think I knew that it was a continuation of, you know, it picked up at the end of the Batman movie with Robert Pattinson, which I didn't think was terrible, but I didn't think it was all that great, mostly because I had problems with the Riddler being, you know, the Joker 2.0. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. This show was great, I thought. I thought mm-hmm. the acting was great, the writing. There were a lot of homages to The Sopranos, specifically one scene where they're going to shoot the penguin. That's almost a shot-for-shot recreation of that episode, the penultimate episode of season one of The Sopranos, where Tony almost gets whacked.
Yeah, he pulls him in the car and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Matt Reeves, you know, who done the Batman movie with Pattinson, continued it on with this, and this is going to end where the season ends. We'll pick up in the next Batman movie. We'll pick it right up.
That is cool.
He's the only person that has the ability to have an enclosed DC universe to himself outside of Gunn's new setup. So
there's no other, there's no Superman in this world.
No.
Really? So, okay, there's no Superman. Batman Part 2, The Batman Part 2 is slated for release on October 2nd, 2026. So maybe there'll be another season of The Penguin.
Yeah.
Well, episode 2 comes out on the 29th, so it'll be out after this episode is released, and I imagine that we'll talk about it next week. What's that actress who plays Johnny Sack's daughter?
Christina
Milioti. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
She's fantastic. I loved her in that one show where she was the living in the AI world with that guy. Ray Romano played her dad. He had cancer.
Yeah.
She was fantastic.
She was also great in that the best episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah. The Star Trek one.
Yeah, they're making a series out of it.
Oh, okay.
She's the mother from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, at the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know she did all this stuff. I just remember her from The Sopranos.
She's just perfect for that. She's almost terrifying. Like, whenever she is, she's creepy.
Yeah.
She's
the only person that could scare the penguin just by showing up.
Right. Now
Colin Farrell, do you think they told him, we want you to like act like Tony Soprano, or that's just his choice? He just chose that.
Maybe he chose it.
I don't think he's acting like Tony, but
can you believe sometimes though? Yeah. I mean, can you believe it though? Sometimes you're looking, I have to keep telling myself that's Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
He's in his eyes amazing. Sometimes.
So well done. You know, I like a show like that. Although I kind of like that. I would like to see some other DC characters in there, but I guess I'm not going to get that because I get the Christopher Nolan Batman movies were all in their own universe. Is there a Joker in this universe? Was there a Joker in Ark?
Yeah, that was the scene, the end credit scene on the Batman was the kid from Saltburn. Saltburn. That's what it was.
Okay.
You got to see his silhouette and him talking.
Okay.
You're talking about that kid that looks like a leprechaun in the face?
Yeah, the Irish kid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is that actor's name? I want to see it. Barry Keoghan?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, we shall see. I'm excited for it no matter what. I always like the Batman stuff for the most part.
And the kid that's playing in that as well, he's really good.
His protege?
Yeah. And that character is from the comics.
Yeah.
Really? And it's just like the comics. He kind of raises him, but he's going to be the one that's got to pick a side whether he's going to be good or bad by the end of this.
Renzi Feliz is his name, or Feliz, and he plays Victor Aguilar.
I definitely wasn't expecting the Penguin's mother to flip the script the way that she did, and was just like,
I know.
No. And I didn't realize that she was like the architect. She was like his Karl Rove.
Yeah, no shit. Karl Rove or Roy Cohn. We're all going to watch it. Let us know what you think of the Penguin, if you like it. What did you like about it? Share it in the comments or hit us up on social media.
It's news, trailers, and trends with Steph.
Are you guys watching the Menendez Monsters on Netflix?
I haven't started it yet.
I haven't either.
Well, I've watched all of it.
You've watched all of it, okay.
Yeah, I binged the whole thing. And it starts out, it's like real fun, you know, you got the 80s music and, you know, they kill their parents. It's fun, it's cool, and they're having a good time. And then it banks totally left and they're in jail and they're telling all of the horrific details of their molestation by their dad and the mom and blah, blah, blah. It's really hard to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're thinking, oh, well, they deserved it. Should have got their heads blown off. And then by the end, you're like, should they have gotten their heads blown off?
How many episodes is it?
It is 9 episodes.
Holy shit.
I guarantee if you start watching it, you won't be able to stop. But Eric Menendez is condemning the Netflix show, and he's calling it a very dishonest portrayal of the murder case.
How come?
Well, he's saying that Ryan Murphy has kind of set them back as far as people who come out about their child traumas of being molested and whatnot. He's making fun of it, is the way that they took it. And there's several people online that are also kind of saying the same thing, like they made light of it. I personally do not feel like they made light of it. I think that they made light of the fact that they were rich little jerks, and they were. But were they rich little jerks because they've been getting diddled their whole lives? Is that part of the reason why they're little jerks? And the shit, when you get done with it, you're left with the idea, or at least I was, that maybe the parents had it coming. But either way, something happened to them.
Yeah.
It may not have been everything that they said, but they lied so much in the beginning that you can't believe a lot of the stuff they say. It's really good. And the one that plays their attorney, she's great. She was in I'm Dying Up Here. She played the blonde ingenue.
Mm-hmm.
So she's really good. And I love that they have Nathan Lane playing Dominic Dunn. And they reference the case with his daughter from Poltergeist where she was murdered. Yeah. And I felt like they said that the attorney who represented the Eric Menendez is also the same one that represented her boyfriend, the one that killed her.
So wait a minute. Which person are you talking about from Poltergeist? The older sister who got stalked and murdered?
Well, yes. Yeah, the boyfriend killed her. He strangled her to death.
Yeah.
So the attorney, I think that's what they were saying in the show, was that she was also his attorney and got him off with manslaughter or something like that.
All right.
So and Dominic Dunn, that character is throughout the whole show because he's, you know, covering the story for Variety.
Lane has to be perfect for that. And that actress you're talking about is Ari Grainer.
Yes. Who,
you're right, was fantastic on that show. She's also in, she's also Meadow's roommate in The Sopranos.
Yes, the annoying one.
Yeah, who ended up, she banged the boyfriend.
Yes. Yeah, but she was excellent as this attorney. And I mean, the guys that are playing Eric and Lyle, they're phenomenal. And of course, Javier Bardem as the dad, when they're telling, you know, when they're showing the backstory, he's their memories of him, or they're telling, he's such a depraved sicko.
Why didn't he just flip a coin and kill the kids?
it's a good watch. But so he's condemning Netflix and all this. And then right behind that, Vince McMahon is slamming Netflix over his Mr. McMahon doc that just came out today.
There's so much more to watch that I have to watch. And I definitely want to watch that because, you know, I love that world, especially the old stuff. You know, my TikTok feed is now all old wrestling clips.
Well, much like Netflix did not respond to the Menendez thing, they aren't responding to this either. And Vince McMahon, at the start of this documentary, he had not, you know, what happened with him a couple of years ago with the whole lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And he left. Well, they were filming the documentary when that happened.
Okay.
And they were just getting ready to finish it up, and then boom, the news drops. So they preface this at the beginning and they tell you that that's what was going on. And that's why Vince McMahon is pissed, I think, because I haven't watched all of it yet. I'm on like the first episode, but apparently later on they get more into the whole lawsuit and the graphic details of it.
Well, his daughter doesn't seem too pleased with it.
But supposedly he was sex trafficking or something.
Well, he had a creepy sex shit that he would do with people. And he would be mean to people and stuff.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. We won't know, I guess, until there's a trial. But Stone Cold Steve Austin said, the Mr. McMahon character is pretty close to Vince. The man, but obviously highly exaggerated. The best characters in wrestling are guys at their core with the volume turned up. What you saw for me is Stone Cold was me with the volume turned up. Same with Vince. Also... I don't believe in CTE. He's been doing interviews about this, I guess, and now the news is that Steve Austin doesn't believe in CTE. So those are two things. You definitely sold me on the Menendez show, so I'm definitely going to get into that.
I don't know if it's going to stop you from getting pornographic pics from Olivia Nuzzi, but RFK Jr. apparently is threatening to sue her because of her continuing... pics and whatnot she was sending him. Please explain to us what happened.
You can tell us the crux of the story is I was working with her on an article. And you get close with people when they're coming to your house and talking to you and things. But I never asked her to send me these pictures. She would send me a picture of her cleavage and I would send her a picture of a roadkill opossum I found that I had skinned because I collect their tails. Whenever there's a dead opossum in the road, I cut the tail off and then I use their hide to make slippers and I sell them at fairs and flea markets.
She wants that brain worm, yo.
I got rid of the brain worm. He was very curious about my ravens. And I wanted her to come over, but only when Cheryl was there. My wife, Cheryl Hines, from Curb Your Enthusiasm, who's very famous, and I don't want to leave me. So I didn't ever send pictures of my penis. I did send pictures, you know, those clams that Chinese ladies will eat in the mukbang. That's what it was. It wasn't my penis. It comes out in the news like we were having an affair, but Cheryl knows that I love her, and I would never cheat on her. I'm not Donald Trump Jr.
She's cheating on you with Ted Danson.
No. I like that Curb as well. But I didn't have anything to do with her. And I got to stop doing this voice now.
Big shock. Macklemore hates America. And they dropped him. Yeah, they dropped him from this big Vegas festival today after he, at the end of some pro-Palestine show, he just said, fuck America.
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of, he sponsors sports teams and whatnot in the Washington area and Seattle and stuff, and they're all like talking about dropping him from being a sponsor.
You're gonna have to go pop some tags, bro.
Yeah, he doesn't have to worry about that. He can always make it down at the thrift shop.
Yep. Has he had any other hit song other than that?
Oh yeah, where are we going? Okay. This is our moment.
Why can't he just say he was mad at America Ferrera?
Yeah, see, that's what you should do if you're a celebrity. Get pissed at America Ferrera. That show. What was that show she was on?
Ugly Betty.
Yeah, Ugly Betty.
Yeah. Blame it on America Ferrera. Ugly Betty.
Fuck Ugly Betty.
Yeah.
Which is code for fuck America.
Yep.
Have you heard this horrible, absolutely awful version of Comfortably Numb?
Yeah, I heard it. Awful.
Awful. That Ice-T has done with his band Body Count.
Mm-hmm. And David Gilmour playing a guitar solo on it.
Unbelievable that they allowed it, that he did this, that he teamed up with him. It's so bad.
It's fucking horrible. It makes Roger Waters redid the Dark Side of the Moon last year. Or maybe it was earlier this year. Things just go so fast, I don't recall. But he did a reinterpretation, a reimagining of it. And, you know, it was okay for one listen. I found it interesting. But if I want to hear Dark Side of the Moon, I'm going to listen to Dark Side of the Moon, which I love. But this is terrible. I can't believe they gave him time off from SVU to go do this. They should have said, no, you need to stay here and, you know, do shit on SVU and be the only testosterone on the show like you are. That's it.
Everybody should have told him no. Everybody should have said this is a terrible idea. Yeah. Get away from it.
Remember that song Cop Killer that we did? This one's called Career Killer.
You get these scratchy lottery tickets.
Yeah, you know what we're going to do next? We're going to do the wall, the whole thing. Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone.
I think they're going to do Iron. He's probably going to do Iron Man next time.
I am Iron Man. Give me another song. I'll ruin that one, too.
I mean, this is like such a beloved song. It's a genius song. The lyrics are incredible. And especially like, and I understand Ice-T's reasoning. He said as he's grown older, the song really resonates with him. Yeah, I get it. I feel the same, but I'm not going to release my version of it.
So much I want to ruin it.
I wish he'd have done a rap version of it as opposed to with Body Count. That would have been much better because Body Count, they're what they are, but they never were anything.
They were never anything other than something that was in the news because they said a song about killing cops.
Right. Yeah. If it's the original band, they've all got to be pushing 70. They might have a body count if they take this out on the road.
Yeah. I mean, Ice-T 66 and David Gilmour, I mean, he's 78, so he's not that much older than him. But yeah, I mean, they're
kind of like he likes it.
Oh, they breathe new life into the song. No. They brought it back from the dead. And, you know, fuck you.
It never dies.
His wallet and puts it in his back pocket.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
No, I don't have to tool.
Well, let me ask you this. What would Blade 2 have been like if one of Blade's best friends was a character played by Michael Jackson?
We gotta go kill some vampires. We gotta go kill some vampires. You know, there's vampires everywhere. You know what I call? I call them, but I'm not allowed to say that in the movie. I wrote a lot of songs about vampires. You ever hear my lyrics about vampires? Vampires. You know what vampires do? They come into your country and they take over all the entertainment and they take all your money. and then they make it look like you did bad things with children. I never did anything with children, but I would love to be in Blade 2. How come I wasn't in it?
He wanted to be an actor so bad. He wanted to be Spider-Man really bad.
I could have been a good Spider-Man. Get all that white goo off my wrists. He's after bad people like the Hobgoblin and the Green Goblin and Dr. Octopus. Hey, Dr. Octopus, can you give me some propofenol? I want to get a new nose, too. You can sew that on. I never did anything bad. My sister's ignorant. She doesn't know Kamala Harris is a black woman. Janet, she's ignorant. She couldn't have been in Blade 2. I could have been in Blade 2.
Leave him alone. His brother just died.
I still love Billie Jean. I don't care.
You want to be killing vampires. Got killing vampires. Want to be killing vampires. All right. I gotta go now.
Bye. Well, I mean, I guess Wesley Snipes just wasn't having it, so it was not meant to be. Poor Mike. Wished he could have pulled it off, but
I love Michael Jackson, so I don't believe he did anything wrong.
Well, we've already talked about the Sean Diddy crap. We went all through it and about, but their squatters have taken over a $10 million mansion in LA. One of the mansions that he shot a video in that lots of people have lived in, and it's just abandoned, and they've tagged it. They've graffiti tagged the entire place, this huge ass 9,000 square foot mansion. And they broken all the glass out of it. And the guy that owns it, I don't know what he's doing. He's just like letting it happen. And the city called him because, you know, obviously there's a bunch of rich people that live beside of there. They're starting to get like vagrants with pipes beating them and shit in the street. It's like, why? How in the world is this happening? So the city of Los Angeles or that area, they have had to provide security. They had to build a fence around the house because it's become a nuisance in the neighborhood.
Weren't there a lot of squatters at his parties, too?
Ooh.
I imagine people would do that. I mean, they did all sorts of things. I imagine they were doing the all sorts of golden showers and glass-bottom boats, a lot of chili dogs, which is Steph doesn't like to think about, so we won't say it again.
Recently they spray painted on the roof of the place that Diddy was here.
Mm-hmm.
Just to add to it, I guess. But
not recently.
No.
Well, hijinks abound. Now, this is a high school that was right next to where I grew up, okay? And that's why I put this in here. This is Trenton High School in Trenton, Michigan. They somebody got into their Google listing for the high school and changed the name several times. First, they changed it to Baby Oil High School. Then they changed it to Hawk Tua High School. Okay. Diddler High.
No, everything is trending. They're using words that are keywords that are trending. That's smart.
Big Chungus High School.
That's where I went.
Nice Try Diddy High School. And so they did it. So I guess the school, they had to get with Google and completely just take their listing off.
Damn.
Because these kids keep hacking in and changing the name of the school.
That's funny.
Yeah. So I just thought that was hilarious that they keep doing that. So that's why I put that in there. I just enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun romp. What wasn't a fun romp was the fact that last year, after the Lions lost the NFC North, or they didn't go to the Super Bowl, Dan Campbell, this little shit in his daughter's class at school in Bloomfield Hills, leaked his address.
Why?
Because he's a little douchebag. So he put his address on Snapchat, and the next thing you know, they're getting people showing up at their house at 11 o'clock at night and all kinds of weird crap. It was so bad that Campbell had to sell his house.
So he has to move because of these douchebags.
He did move, yeah. He had to move to like a gated community or whatever because these douchebags leaked it. This is some bullshit. So yeah, but they tracked it down and they found out it was this little jerk that his daughter went to school with.
That's too bad.
I thought it was also too bad. But what is looking good to me is that they're going to be doing a Sublime biopic.
Yeah, that's overdue.
I've been hoping that somebody would do this. And KJ Apa, what's his face from Riverdale? I think he plays Archie in Riverdale. He's the one who's going to be playing Bradley. And when they put his picture up, I had never really thought about it before, but he does look like him.
Yeah, it kind of does. I'm looking at him right now.
So I think that'll be good. Obviously, it's going to have a sad ending, which will suck. But well,
maybe not. If now that they've waited this long to do the biopic, they'll be able to put in the fact that his son took his position.
Yeah, his son took over.
And going forward, that would be a great ending.
Yeah, I guess you're right. The son does sound like him.
Oh, yeah. He's getting better and better.
So I look forward to that. I think that'll be good. And the last thing I have is yet another Netflix story because Ryan Murphy, you know, we've had Dahmer and now we've just had Menendez. And then he's doing a third season of his monster anthology series and it's going to be on Ed Gein.
Ooh.
And I'm not sure about the casting of Charlie Hunnam as Ed Gein.
Why not? Yeah.
I don't know, man. I guess I'll just have to see him because what's his face? Railsback, when he played him? I don't know if anybody could ever play it better than Railsback did.
Well, they're going to have to ugly him up for sure.
Real bad.
Yeah.
Real bad. I mean, they're going to have to surgically do something to him because he's way too handsome to play that guy. So, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, they surprised me at every turn so far.
They need to get the S.H.I.E.L.D. guy to run him over with a truck.
Anyway, that's all my news. Bye.
Hello, America. I'm Casey Kasem. This week, we look back to September 28th, 1993. The number one song in America was Mariah Carey's Dream Lover. Jurassic Park was Cinemaplex Rex at the box office. And three comedians topped the TV ratings. Tim Allen's Home Improvement ranked number two, airing on ABC. Jerry Seinfeld's Seinfeld was number three and aired on NBC. And rounding it out at number three, also airing on ABC, was Roseanne Barr's Roseanne. And also happy birthday to Thomas Richard Bundy, a.k.a. the North Pole serial killer. Born on this day in 1948, he was an American serial killer who from 1979 to 1981 strangled and shot four women and one young girl in the city of Fairbanks, Alaska. At the time of the killing, Bundy was serving at Ellison Air Force Base near Fairbanks and for a long time avoided suspicion. Despite confessing to the crimes, Bundy was not immediately arrested due to a legal mistake and remained at liberty for another 8 days until his apparent suicide when he Jax Tellered himself into a dump truck while riding a motorcycle. So long, Thomas Richard Bundy, a.k.a. the North Pole serial killer. You've always been a friend to me. Keep looking up.
I watched the most recent episode of that Saturday Night Live. Anybody else start watching that podcast where they break down every season?
No, not yet. I won't watch it, though.
Yeah, I watched the one you were talking about, season 11.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the first one. Yeah, it was good.
And then season 12 is good, too, where they bring in, you know, that's when it really hit stride again. Dana Carvey, Phil Hartman.
Yeah, the first year of the new cast.
Yeah.
I listened to Dion Cole on Conan Needs a Friend. That was good. His stand-up special is pretty good on Netflix.
I adore him.
Yeah. And I listened to Bowen Yang on Fly on the Wall today.
How was that?
It was good. A lot of inside baseball writer's room stuff from Saturday Night Live.
I listen to Taggart and Torrance. Their podcast has been on hiatus for like 3 or 4 months without any explanation. So I was kind of concerned. But when they came back, it was just they were both busy doing TV shows. So
yeah, is he doing Shoresy?
He did say that he's filmed for Shoresy, so there's something in the can already. And then Taggart, he's doing something with the Canadian, they're forming some kind of super band with some of the guys from Bare Naked Ladies. And
oh, really?
And they're going to start doing, I think it's a Canadian tour of Canadian like rock bands from the 70s and 80s that were huge. Oh, there. Cool. Yeah. So kind of neat.
I did listen to or watched Harlan Williams with Greg Fitzsimmons. A lot of Greg Fitzsimmons laughing at Harlan. He is funny. I love that guy.
I said a punchline all the time.
Who, Harlan Williams?
No, Greg Fitzsimmons.
Oh, yeah. He does come there. He still plays comedy clubs. Harlan, I think, will probably play a small theater now, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Meanwhile, over in Conyers, they're still proudly serving East Metro Atlanta, and they have been for 40 years. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is the place to be this fall. Did you hear? We changed it. It's football, cold weather, unless you live in Atlanta. Their featured beer selection this fall is Monday Night Brewing's Oktoberfest. It is a German-style Märzen Lager with noble German hops for a subtle bitterness and a smooth
balanced, finished, perfect for the fall.
They've got the best gyros, euros, pizza, hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties around. Dustin knows he eats there every day. Stop by Monday through Friday from 11 to 9 p.m. and on Saturdays from 12 to 9. They are closed on Sundays. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Bring your smartest friends and test your trivia knowledge against the best Conyers has to offer. So if Dustin's there that night, you might have a good shot at winning. Their food truck is also available. Just contact Mike at 770-483-6228 for more details or to schedule your event. And Mike says, thanks for listening to the best podcast around and for all your business and continued support. Thank you for all your support to the best pizza place around. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for, dummy? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens since 2005, which is almost 20 years. With a fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment cards.
Okay, we're gonna read some YouTube comments. And by the way, you can leave a comment underneath this video. Leave a comment, talk about anything you like. Comment on the show, comment on our appearance. Now, don't do that. That's mean. We're old people. Velma the D said, love the show this week. It was tight. Roby says, don't get me on my soapbox again. These shows are not comedies. They are dramas with humor. And he's talking about The Bear, because last week we talked about The Bear winning all those comedy Emmys. Brett Perkins says, have you seen Mad God from the mid-2021 year? It is a stop-motion nightmare, in a good way, if you like horror. I have not. I've not even heard of that. Have you guys?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it. It's it's messed up. It's like a if you accidentally watched Pee-wee's Playhouse on acid.
Okay.
Yeah.
I may have done that at one point, but
right?
And it's gross.
Oh, my God. I have to check this out. All right. I'm looking at it. Let's see. John Wayne says, J-Ho. We were talking about J-Lo and her involvement with Diddy. And I forgot that she was so involved with him over the years, especially in the early 2000s, right? That's when they were together, the late 90s or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that was his comment about her.
J-Ho.
Charles says, I saw after Diddy's arrest, Travis Scott was arrested in Paris. Something is going down. Pink deleting her social media. Rats are jumping the ship. And you know what? You might be onto something. Monica says, so Ben is the good guy in this hideous scenario, talking about Ben Affleck.
Maybe.
Listen, Ben Affleck has to protect himself from all these people. Please leave us a comment. Those are good ones. There's some from some new people this week. It was nice to see.
His views.
Or.
It's news.
News.
And we're back.
Thank you, Jeff. We are back. Now, please deliver us some views or snooze.
Yeah, last week was Agatha All Along, Monsters, which we talked quite a bit about, and Penguin, which I also talked about quite a bit. I watched the first, I think, two episodes of Agatha All Along. It's good so far.
Yeah, I liked it. For the first 40 minutes, it was a little confusing. But
they're doing like other kind of shows, like kind of like WandaVision did.
Yeah, so this one's kind of like True Detective.
Like a Danish cop show. Mr. McMahon, who's going to watch this?
Yeah, I think we're all going to watch that. Yeah.
I am watching it.
You are watching it.
Yeah.
Controversial?
I've watched almost all of the first episode.
Apartment 7A is a movie. It's a prequel to Rosemary's Baby. Looks pretty good.
I've been waiting for this one.
Did they get approval to do this from... the creator of director of Rosemary's Baby?
He's dead.
I know he's not. Roman Polanski, he's not dead.
Oh, that's right. He directed it. I was thinking of the male star.
Oh, no. Yeah, he's long dead.
Yeah.
Julia Garner's in it. Diane Wiest. Oh, I don't know. Should I watch it?
If Weast is in it, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. I think it looks good.
I'll probably give it a view. I want to see it because I love that movie. But the movie, it was based on a book, so.
And then the vice presidential debate is this week. Couch versus coach. Who you got?
America Zero.
Yeah, right? I got Macklemore.
I got Macklemore. I got no problem with J.D. Vance. People sort of liked him until recently. Until he became a senator, I guess everybody liked him. And then, you know, he's a Republican or whatever. So artsy people hate him. I don't really care. The vice presidents don't matter. No, I'm not watching that. All right. Thank you, Jeff. Let's do our staff picks. Now, my staff pick, I am choosing this in spite of myself because I know that I'm going to watch it. Steph and I were complaining about this to each other the other day. Tim Dillon has a new show on Netflix. It's called This Is Your Country. It debuts on the 1st of October. Sort of a Jerry Springer throwback to the 90s, I guess, 2000, a little homage. This is not the, I believe this is not the type of thing I like about Tim Dillon. I like Tim Dillon's rants. I like it when he does.
You don't think he'll do a monologue or anything?
Well, he'll do a monologue probably, but I'm not big on his stand-up comedy. I've watched a couple of his specials. They're funny. He's so smart and so good at writing these jokes. But I like his one looking at you with his expensive sunglasses on. Rant. His producer, goofy producer, laughing. I'm going to watch it, obviously. Maybe it'll be good. Steph, I want you to weigh in.
I'll try and watch it. I don't know. I haven't been a fan of any type of Springer-esque type of show since I was in my early 20s. And it just, you know, that's, it's like you watch it with your friends or whatever. And then
high in college.
Yeah, I was never in college. But yes, I hate that kind of crap now. I can't stand it. Where they're just like screaming about whose baby's daddy is this and shit like that. That is annoying to me beyond. I cannot even tolerate 5 seconds of it. So I was hoping that it would be, if it's going to be anything, that it's a parody of a show like that.
That's and it might be.
Yeah,
it
might. It's going to be. He's too smart for to agree to do something like you think it's going to be. Yeah.
As long as it is a parody of it, then I'll probably enjoy it. But I'm going to check it out just because I'm such a huge fan of his.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I loved this last episode whenever he was talking about Joe Biden putting on that Trump on the MAGA hat.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I like Joe now. He's fun. He's fun.
Awesome. All right. Jeff, what's your step pick?
Joe Gatto has his, from Impractical Jokers, has his stand-up special just at YouTube. It's called Messing with People. It's real good.
This one be fun. Is this one funnier than?
Yeah, I thought it was funnier than Sales.
Andrew Pal Gorilla.
Yeah, I think so.
Mine's an audiobook. I finished the Babaverse book, and everyone that's into those books, they said that this was the next book to read if you like that kind of stuff. So it's called Dungeon Crawler Carl, is the name of it.
All right.
But yeah, interesting concept. A guy and his cat are one of the few people that survive when aliens immediately turn the Earth into an 18 level dungeon that you have to escape by going through. So if you've ever played like RPG video games, because everything is in his head. So there's like an up, you know, display that tells him his health and everything that he comes across. But the cat is a Himalayan cat, and they give it, when it goes into the dungeon, he thinks it's going to be a hindrance, but it turns, they give it sentience and it can talk. So he's got a friend that's a Himalayan cat and him trapped in this dungeon. Matt Denneman is the author, he's got an interesting array of voices that he has to use for everything. So if you like audiobooks and weird sci-fi, Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Steph? Mine is the Salem's Lot movie that's coming out on Max on October 3rd. 10/3. Yes. October 3rd.
Sundown, you better take care.
I watched that trailer like 5 times.
I got to watch it. So it's October 3rd?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, I'll be checking that shit out, yo. I'm still obsessing about the hurricane. Okay. Steph, you have something you'd like to talk about.
Oh, not really. I mean, I just, you know, last year I did the juvenile, I do the walk for JDRF, the Juvenile Diabetes Walk. For my nephew, in my office, we have like a big team and we're all going to be in it. Well, they've changed the name of it. Now it's the Type 1 Breakthrough or some shit. I don't know. They changed the name of it for some damn reason. I don't know why. But I'm walking. It's at the end of October. I need money, please, God. Donate to me. Thank you so much, Tim Allen. Because he was my first donation today. As soon as I went on Facebook and was like, hey, please, because some of that you guys saw.
Is there a minimum donation?
No.
Okay, because I looked at it today and it was like $70 was the minimum that, that looked to me.
No, no, you can donate anything. I'll take anything.
I'll figure it out.
Because our little captain, she's been really giving us the business here lately about we need to get some pledges and get some money going here. So if you can, I'll take anything you got. Anything you will. Dustin, you'll put the link in there, I hope,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, link will be in the description below.
So please sponsor me in this walk to help. You know, it probably isn't going to cure anything, but, you know, we just keep walking. It's at Atlantic Station. So, and also too, if you want to join in it, you can go to the link and join our team if you want. I don't know.
The wrong Steph walked.
Thank you, Steph. Let's do some plugs. If you like listening to me talk by myself, then you can go to the Radio Labyrinth podcast feed wherever you find your podcasts and look up every Monday or actually it's Tuesdays now because, well, anyway, it's called Trambles. And this week I just talk a little bit about the penguin and some other things, but mostly about the penguin and how much I like the penguin. And I'm very nasally, so you can check that out. I do a radio show on WSB in Atlanta called The Popcast. It airs at 7 p.m. on Saturday nights when there's not a Georgia football game. My most recent episode is available now as a podcast, and the guests were Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein. They were the co-creators of a show called Mission Hill, and they are also writers on The Simpsons, Futurama, and Disenchantment. And also comedian Leanne Morgan, who I love talking to. She is awesome. She was in town doing a book signing, and she called in to talk about that. My dear sweet Tim, it is so nice to hear you. She's a sweetheart.
Yeah, she's funny too.
Supposedly, I'm going to be interviewing comedian Felix Esparza. Do you guys know him?
Felipe Esparza?
Yeah, well, I'm supposed to interview him tomorrow.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
I'm looking forward to it. But if it ends up where I can't do it because, you know, the kids' school is canceled, then I'll have to postpone it. And then also coming up, Jeff Plate, who is the drummer from Trans-Siberian Orchestra, who also lives in Horseheads, New York, and knows what Pudgies is.
No way.
Yeah, this is the third time I've interviewed him. And every time I bring it up, because you go to Pudgies? He goes, no, I don't go there anymore. But he's a huge Bills fan.
Does he go to Hesselson's?
No, Hesselson's is I'm sure he knows what it was. Hey, you can become a supporter of Radio Labyrinth by going to patreon.com/Tim Andrews and give a little bit or give a lot. You can give $1 or $5 or $10, all the way up to $1,000. No, you're not going to do that. But you do get our Patreon only show that we do every single week, and that comes out on Wednesdays. And we record it after the show, so you get to enjoy that. Yeah, and if you sign up at $25, you can be a producer, and we will give you credit, you know, right there on the screen, and we give you a shout-out every week because that's what producers get. You get production credit, and you help, you know, keep us afloat a little bit here. And we could always use more, but thank you very much to the people who are Patreon members and producers. So thank you to John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D., Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Brian, and DJ Chelsea Smith.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you all very much. And if you're watching us on YouTube, remember to like and subscribe. Don't forget to leave a comment. We'll read them. We have fun doing that. And turn on the alert, I guess, if you need to. Or if you listen on your favorite podcatcher, just come on over to the YouTube and subscribe. That helps us out. And Dustin does a really good job making it more than just us blabbing. He puts in clips and graphics, and it's a lot of fun. Although our blabbing is, if I do say so myself, pretty good. Unless I'm missing anything, I think we're done. And now I'm going to go home and do REO Speedwagon and ride the storm out.
Sounds like a plan, man.
Until next week, please remember to
keep it canon.
Well, they say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the radio labyrinth. And we got a rocket like we're still young kids. Laughing at the world, but jokes never fade. Never fade away. And at the radio labyrinth, we'll never be swayed.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.